out for closed session?
Sure. The board had a discussion on real property negotiations and will return to closed session.
Okay, so now's the part that you're mostly all here for. Tonight we're going to be interviewing candidates for the position that Allison Thompson vacated when she moved up to Portland. We're going to be asking questions of the candidates based on a protocol that the board determined prior. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris to kind of give the process for the evening.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here and for your interest in serving in the role of trustee in City Schools. As each of you candidates will be asked interview questions in a rotating order. This week, Nancy, my assistant, and past assistant Catherine drew names, and Rob, you were drawn first, Olga, you were drawn second, Cindy, you were drawn third, and Lene, you were drawn fourth. So Rob will take the first person to answer the first question, Olga will be the first person to answer the second question, and so on, and we'll just be in a rotation. Each of the trustees is going to ask a different question, and I'll end with asking you to take an opportunity to kind of give any closing remarks for about 3 minutes. Trustees, you have paper for taking notes during the interviews in your packets, and I'd just like to remind you that you're going to be submitting those to me because they're part of public record as a part of these interviews. And if a candidate has any clarifying questions, if you want clarity on the questions that are being asked, please direct that to me, and I'll work to clarify that for you. Or if I feel like you may not have understood specifically what the question was intended, I may ask you a clarifying question. But trustees are not going to ask any more than the question that's there before you. Okay. So with that, following the conclusions of the interview, the board will invite comments from the audience, and we ask that everyone hold comments until that time. And we can go ahead and begin with Deb asking the first question.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the first question, which is to Rob. Briefly, tell us why you want to be a member of the school board, and if selected, what strengths would you bring to the board?
Do you want us to use the microphone?
Thank you. Ours never works. That's why I'm not picking it up. I'm sorry.
So I appreciate being here. So I've worked in education my entire life. I've taught preschool one time in my life, and I've served in a variety of roles in a variety of different school districts throughout the state of California. I worked a little bit with Allison Thompson when she was on the board with some of the projects she's worked on. One in particular, making our schools more safe and inclusive, especially for LGBT kids, is the one committee that I've been part of as part of the district and working with her in that direction. And so those are several of the reasons that I seek to become a provisional board member in place of Allison. Now, nobody can take Allison's place, so I'm going to be wrong there. But I would say the unique strengths that I bring to the board is that I have been in a variety of different school districts across the state. I grew up in this district, consider this my home district, despite where I've lived throughout my whole life. And I think my knowledge about a variety of aspects of the school and school districts and the importance of learning for all kids is what I bring to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Olga, before you answer the question, I'm going to ask Frank. We're timing, so you did that perfectly under 3 minutes.
Okay.
But I guess 3 minutes for questions. So.
Buenas tardes, buenas noches, Presidente Monroe, Presidente Tracy, y miembros de la mesa directiva de las escuelas de la ciudad de Santa Cruz. Me llamo Olga de Santana y he servido como educadora en las escuelas públicas por más de 45 años. Good evening, Superintendent Monroe, Board President Mrs. Tracy
Crew,
members of the board and the community at large. My name is Olga de Santana, and I am the proud mother of 3 children who have been successful products of the Santa Cruz City School. I thought a lot about, I know I write things down because I get nervous and then I forget what I'm supposed to say, right? So I hope you'll excuse me. I believe and support public education. I've been an educator in the public schools here in Santa Cruz in many capacities for 45 years. I started off as a bilingual teacher in Santa Barbara and then came here to Santa Cruz in 1982. So I have been 45 years in education here in Santa Cruz County. There are many different factors why I stepped up for this position. First of all, I am truly bilingual, bicultural, and I have been, I want to continue the great work that's been done here in the city schools already for our students in regards to equity issues, accountability, student achievement, and mostly I really love this district. I feel like this is my home. I love the teachers and the classified staff, the students and the parents. And I am concerned about the political climate in education right now. So I want the students to receive the best education possible. As a board member, I'd like to help govern collectively and collaboratively with a shared vision to help guide the district in a fruitful and common direction, always keeping the students' welfare and academic achievement in mind as a guiding principle in order to ensure accountability while monitoring progress and looking at results. I want to be on the board because I've seen over the last 10 years how much this district has grown and how well we are doing in so many areas, but I know that there's other areas that we need to look at, like the English language learners and how we are carrying out our LCAP, and also looking at the LGBTQ community and our low-income students. Collaboratively with the superintendent and the board, I want to help build these bridges of understanding with the stakeholders in the community and its underserved populations. I am bilingual, bicultural. I was born in Caracas, Venezuela. My father was Mexicano. And so I know how to speak to the Hispanic community, and I would love to be able to go to town hall meetings and really get the point across of the board. So thank you very much for considering me. I appreciate all your consideration. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for entertaining our candidacies. I think we're all very honored to be sitting here with you tonight and appreciative of the work that you do for this district, the board members, the staff. It's a team effort, and we really appreciate public education or we wouldn't all be sitting here. The reason I would like to serve as a board member, the reason is pretty simple. I really just want to contribute, if appropriate, to be seated on this board. My motivation would simply be to be an advocate for all the children in the district, to represent the community, to be a good listener, to be a good learner, because there's so much to learn about what's going on in our schools today, and so much progress that if we continue in a very collaborative way, so much progress that we could continue to make. The variety of perspectives that I bring to the board, I think, would be one of my strengths. I'm a parent of four. I'm a grandparent of 12. And since I retired about 12 years ago, I've been very involved with all the schools in which my grandchildren attend, and I've had a chance to interface with a lot of different school districts and appreciate the experience that that background gives me. I've been a teacher. I've been a union president. I've been a principal, a superintendent, a board member. And I think it's one of the strengths I bring is I do have a lot of experience as a board member. I was on a planning commission for 6 years, not in Santa Cruz, but elsewhere. And that was very similar in that we're governed by the Brown Act. Everything was done collaboratively. Everything was done in the public interest, in the eye of the public. And we often had 200-300 people coming at us, if you will, with a wide variety of opinions, and we had to decide on variances and conditional use permits and lots of very difficult issues. And sometimes you went with staff recommendations, sometimes you didn't. Sometimes what you heard from the public made you look at things differently. So I think that particular experience is not highlighted in my paperwork, but one that I wanted to bring to the board's attention. So in general, I think my breadth and depth of experience, my focus on looking for accountability from the perspective of the strategic goals that have been set by the board and then the staff implementing the metrics to reach those goals, to make sure that the board collaboratively is looking at those measures that say if we're being successful or not there. In terms of focus, academic equity, I think, is an enormous issue and maybe one of the toughest ones to reach among the strategic goals. and also having had 10 years of experience in working with bond measures and moving facilities programs ahead as a staff person, I think would inform my role as a board member in terms of ensuring that a staff is moving forward efficiently, effectively, and transparently in making sure that bond measures are well implemented in the light of day and in a way that does not lose track of our main goals, which are to educate all the children in the district. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. My name is Camilla Hawkins-James, and I was born and raised in Santa Cruz. I am a product of the Santa Cruz City Schools, starting from Branciforte Elementary, Branciforte Junior High, and I graduated from Harbor High, where I then also stayed in the community and went to UCSE. I want to be a board member because I feel it's a really great combination of all of my skills and interests. I grew up with two parents that were public school teachers. My mom was the president of her union for over 10 years in Scotts Valley. So I was familiar with late night phone calls and conversations, you know, of her shooing me out of the room to work on those issues, as well as the challenges of being teachers. And I feel like I have the experience of knowing about teachers, but then a huge part of my interest also is I'm a mom. I have two children. My son's 3, my daughter is 7, and a second grader at Galt. My stepdaughter graduated from Mission Hill and Santa Cruz High and is off in college now, thriving. And so I feel like I really have points of reference to so many of the schools in the district. I feel that with my own job of owning 2 stores downtown Santa Cruz, I really am out there in the community and active and reachable, approachable. I come in contact with people from all parts of the community, with downtown being kind of the center of us. I have done a lot of board work, and my board work has been with the Downtown Association and the Downtown Management Corporation. So one of the reasons why I really was interested in this position is to kind of expand my board world, and with everything going on in our world, I'm really interested in what I can do here at home, and I'd like to expand that beyond downtown to kind of more encompassing of our community as a whole. I feel I'm a really good listener, and with board work, I feel like one of my strengths is really helping steer the conversation back on course if it ever gets off, which often can happen, and that bringing kind of consensus with quiet listening first and really trying to absorb all the points of view. I think that might just be about it for now. But thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, Sheila, we'll ask the next question, and Olga will take this question first.
If selected, what would be your goals and or priorities as a board member?
Thank you, Sheila. Well, you know, there's so many out there. There's so many priorities in our district right now. For me, I have been studying the vision and the core values and the strategic goals and everything that have been brought forth in the Santa Cruz City Schools. And for me, I really want to look at make sure the LCAP is going well, and that I want to see the metrics on that. And one of my priorities, of course, as a brand new board member will be that I need to learn what you know. Because I know that I'm not in the board yet, so I need to know where all of your heads are at, and of course I'll learn about that. I do want to, the vision of creating and supporting a learning environment that challenges and enables students to achieve their highest potential. Of course, that's our English language learners, or longtime English language learners who sometimes are a little bit left behind, even though we're doing such a good job in the district with them. I think that's a priority for me as a board member. So, and the other thing is that I really want to look at the budget and understand where the budget is in Santa Cruz City Schools and see how that pertains to perhaps equity across the board in enrichment programs in the district, because I know that that is something that we're working on. As part of the SCAP board, because I was one of the founding members of the Santa Cruz Education Foundation board, you know, we have the brand new grant for computer science for all, so that's another thing that we're going to have to get metrics on as well. So, in looking at all of that, I'm kind of the kind of person that loves to have challenges and learn as much as I can where everybody's at. So, the main goal will be to listen to all of you and figure out where you stand and where I should be standing along with you in order to govern this board well. Thank you.
Waiting for the time.
So if selected, what would be my goals and priorities as a board member? I think boards are wonderful creatures, if you will, and each board has a culture, each board has a norm, each board has a style. I think one of my first goals would be to become a listening, learning new board member. That is, you have a very collaborative way of operating. From what I understand, if you establish beautiful norms for board meetings, you have a good relationship with executive staff, with the unions, with the public, you have grand support from the public, as evidenced by the bond measures that were passed. And I think the main thing would be, maybe it's an exaggeration, but to do no harm. I would want to learn the style of the board, the norms of the board in operation, and be a contributing member to the board, but understanding that I'm a new board member, and I would have a lot to learn, and as you said, Olga, to listen, to learn, to be reflective, but to also bring fresh eyes to the district, and to be an independent thinker, to look what's brought to us by staff, but be critical in terms, in a good way, critical, be a good critical thinker, and look at what's brought to us, and be a deliberative and transparent, and listen and learn. So I think one of the main goals would be to be a contributing member of a body that already has its own culture. Also, in terms of particular goals, I referenced that a bit in the first answer, but I think that moving ahead with the LCAP requires a lot of the board focus in terms of what is being done with those supplemental funds, how effectively are they being used, are the interventions that have been designed really making a difference for kids at the classroom level. And then also being a good deliberator in terms of any policies that are brought to the board for consideration, and to listen and learn from the public. Out in the public, as you referenced to the first question, you run into folks, and we're here to be a representative of the community as well as advocates for the children. So to be a good listener out in the community and in appropriate ways, but bring concerns back to either staff or to the board. So I would want to continue the strong collaborative work of the board to listen, to learn, to support the LCAP and other strategic goals, and to further the vision of the district in making it a great place to work, a great place to study. And hopefully my personal qualities would be an advantage and an asset to the team to bring those things about. Thank you.
For me, one of the things I enjoyed about this process was in reading the information that we were given. I learned a lot that I really felt increased my appreciation for what the San Cristian Schools is doing, some of the goals and things, and I thought I would love to really help communicate these to the parents more and to other stakeholders and really make some of this information that, you know, all the goals that are so important and great available. I felt like there was a couple of light bulb moments of like, oh, that's why that's happening. And I really would love to see that to be communicated in a stronger way. In terms of, so I think I would be to a person. In terms of my interests, in, of course, increasing the gap for English learners is a huge interest and something that, you know, particularly impacts me on a day-to-day and volunteering at my daughter's school and really just wanting to really help facilitate that process. And then, as said before, I think that with this kind of unique role of coming in, there would just be a lot of listening and a lot of learning and a lot of observing right away to really kind of understand, you know, as you said, the culture of the board. Of course, with my background in the arts, I'm always really advocating for whatever can be done for art education. The Spectra program of my youth was a big influence for me, and in fact, one of the events that we hold at Artisans every year is Hearts for the Arts at Artisans, which really focuses on getting money for arts education, and so that's always kind of my pet of interest. I think that might be it.
Can you pass that down to Rob?
Rob?
Mr. Garris.
He could still, yeah. He gets that question now, and then you'll be the first person on the next one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting this.
Sorry, Rob.
That's all right. You know, it's a learning process for all of us. As I think about my goals, I think my goals would be to learn more about the board goals, as well as the different measures of success that you have in place for those goals to understand those. I understand that there's a variety of variables around each one of those goals that you use, and I think that would be one of my first goals, is to understand those and understand those success measures that you already have in place. As I mentioned earlier, I think the other area of interest is to make our schools more safe and inclusive than they already are. I think we've made lots of progress in that direction, and I think we can continue to do even more in the sense of becoming a model school district in that area and a leader to make our entire community more safe and inclusive as an overall community. There's just so many wonderful things happening within our district, and as leaders throughout the whole county, it can make it even better for all of our students and all of our stakeholders in the district as well. I think another area of interest of mine, and I wouldn't say goal or priority, but you know, things have changed so much with the movement of technology and social media, and I think we've got to be aware of how to keep our kids safe in those arenas of technology and social media, and be talking about internet safety and those types of things, and how to use the internet. I mean, one of the great things you've done in the past, or actually the community has, is put teacher librarians in every school, and that's part of moving towards a more information literate school district and students, but that's only part of it. We all play a role in that, and as a board member, we got to keep asking ourselves, how do we keep our kids safe at the schools and online as well, and what can we do to empower them to be successful learners in all those different areas? I've done work in helping schools and school districts implement online and blended learning programs. So I've got some background in that area, but overall, we want to help our kids to be successful and safe online as well as in person. And I think the final goal is, how do we enhance and capitalize on the resources of Santa Cruz to benefit our students in a variety of ways? I think the new grant you just received is really exciting, and I think there's opportunities for other things in that direction. But there's also incredible resources around Santa Cruz that I think we should figure out how we can use to meet the needs of all of our students in our district.
Thank you. Okay, so the third question will go to Claudia, and we'll start with Cindy.
Okay, if a parent cornered you in the grocery store and asked you for your support of a particularly controversial issue, how would you respond?
Thank you. That's a great question, and I'm sure we've all faced that. I've faced that in parallel ways, and it's tricky, because on the one hand, you really want to listen to what that parent has to say, so you do,
You listen to understand. You don't listen to convince at that point. You're listening to understand. You empathize with what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. I think you ask good questions. You ask follow-up questions so you truly understand what their point of view is. Because we are a community district. The community might have some points of view that we've missed as a board or that we've missed as staff. So you certainly listen. And I think one thing, too, my ears are always open to the fact that every parent who comes to a board or meets you in the grocery store is speaking up because they love their children. They want what's best for their children. It might be something in sports. It might be something in the arts. It might be something in academics. It might be something having to do with facilities. It might have something to do with a particular teacher or classified staff person. So you definitely have to listen. That's part of our job. But also you have to understand, and I would understand, certainly as a board member, I have no authority as an individual board member. The board acts only collectively. So I would, and I have a lot of experience with this, you help the parent understand that there are ways to get their opinion heard. If there's a particular issue, it might be a sub-level issue, and they could go to their principal. It might be a district-level issue, and you might be able to refer them to the superintendent, or if at some point I'm well-informed enough to know which staff person to go to. And also make them aware of their ways to make their opinion known to the board, be it in writing, be it verbally, in open session, public comments opportunity. But I think that you gently let the person know that you're one voice. You have no decision-making power other than the one vote you might have on that issue at the board, that you fully appreciate their input, and you help them make sure that that input goes beyond you as an individual. When I was a principal in Fullerton High School, I lived three blocks from high school. So I would not only get approached by people in the grocery store, but in the morning, this was back in the olden days, you went out to get your paper. I had to be careful what jammies I was wearing because I always bumped into some students who were parents. So I'm very used to talking with parents throughout the day and helping them understand what the process is. So I think process is extremely important. You don't want to get the cart before the horse or promise anything that cannot be delivered. But I think empathetic listening is the key there. Thank you.
I'm thinking of my mother right now and how I would always hear her say, things start at the site. And to really remember if the issue is with the, you know, if the issue involves a school, start with the teacher, start with the principal, and direct their attention and their back that way. And yes, and listening, of course, that as a spokespeople of the community, you know, board members should listen and observe and take in what they can. But I, knowing how to redirect them and who and how to help support them with that, I think is really important. And as you've very well said, you know, a board is a body, and so it, you know, you're one person and one voice, and you work together. So really good listening and direction is the best that you can do as a board member out in public.
Thank you. You got it down now. So, in thinking about this question, I think the first part is it all depends on what the issue is. And if it's a site issue, then it's something you could listen. I could listen to and then find the appropriate person to refer that person to. If it was more a district policy or district culture type of question or concern, then that might be something I would listen to a little bit more. But in the broad sense, I feel like my role as a board member is to listen and refer to somebody more qualified than I to deal with whatever that issue is. Unless it's something that impacts us as a board, then that would be a little bit different. And then in that case, I would probably possibly refer to another board member who may know that topic or issue better than I. So I think the exciting part of the school district is there are lots of qualified people in this district who know a lot about a variety of controversial issues. I know many of you have lived through those working in this district. I was thinking back when I dealt with something like that, and at one point in my career, I started an online school, and that was at the beginning edge of online schools, and there were lots of people who considered that a controversial issue or a controversial direction to go. And what I learned from that experience was that when something is decided as a body, as a group, and you're the person going out and talking about that issue, then sometimes you get these arrows shot at you in a variety of different ways. But when it's the right thing for a school district or a school and it's been decided, then you're out there pushing that direction. And so it just takes a lot of listening and a lot of repeating the same types of information back about why certain things are important for kids and why it's important for the district and why it's important for teachers. Teachers were concerned about losing jobs and those types of things, and what we all learned through that experience is none of that is really true. You've got to have good teachers just as important online as you do face-to-face. So overall, it's important to listen and continue to talk about what is true for the district and in the best interest of all students in the district.
Well, you know, when I first read this, I thought as myself as a principal, when I didn't know the answer to something, I would say, I'll go back to you on that. Is that okay if I get back to you on that? I don't know enough of that. And I think when you look at the Brown Act, and I've been poring over what the Brown Act says, and, you know, we have to be able to support the collaborative mindset of the board. And so if someone comes up to me and wants me to support them on a particular controversial issue that has already been talked about by the board, I'm not going to sit there with them and have a conversation with them about it, because I don't want to be part of a serial, you know, meeting. You know what I mean? Because they might talk to someone else, and I don't know if they've talked to another board member, and then you can be violating the Brown Act. So it's very important to be able to keep those issues in mind. Also, I really truly believe that when a parent is upset, yes, I will definitely listen to them. I probably will hug them too, because I know a lot of parents out here in the community that will want my ear, and I'll say, well, hey, you know what? I really would love to talk to you about this, but I can't right now, but let me send you to Chris, because Chris will be able to tell you what's going on, or send you to Chris and Deb, but usually Chris first, and then they can have a conversation about it, and then we can talk about it in closed session, because I think it's very important that we don't muddle the playing field there with people or wonderful parents who are so concerned, but I don't have the answer to them. Or maybe my opinion is different from that of the board, but I am part of a shared governing board. And so I'm going to go along with what we have decided as a board in public. And then when I'm private, if I need to talk to everybody about it in a closed session or in public, then that's a different thing. So I know I don't totally understand the Brown Act, but I'm getting there. I think I'm pretty good on that. And I just think that's something that we really need to think about.
Yeah, so it's going to go to Linnea, and Dee Dee will ask the next question, question number 4.
Are you ready? All right. How would you cope with differing opinions among board members and between the board and superintendent?
I do like to think that this is an area that I have good experiences with, a lot of listening and building consensus. The boards I've been on, very rarely has there been one where it's been everyone feels easily one way or the other. So it's been a challenge to learn how to listen carefully and figure out how to work all together. But I do feel that is one of my strengths. And as I said before, I also feel really comfortable helping steer the conversation back on track to the issues at hand and not getting far flung from
which can often happen when there are differing opinions. In terms of the board and the superintendent, let me back up one second. One thing, as Olga mentioned about the Brown Act, is I definitely see that as a difference in the types of boards that I've been on before, and I've given that a lot of thought because that's a different perspective of not being able. I am really used to chatting with my peers and talking things among a group, so I am really interested to see how that affects making a decision with not being able to kind of check in with everyone. So I guess that's kind of answering a question with a question, but I just wanted to bring attention to that. And then in terms of the board and the superintendent, it looks like there's been amazing groundwork laid to have the kind of communication where it looks to be collaborative and things to work on seem possible to do together in a very communicative way. So I think I've answered the question there.
Thank you.
All right, we got it now. So I think the important part of this, again, is it's important to listen to each other and to understand the perspectives of a variety of people. So I think my strategy would be first to listen and then help to clarify what the issues are, because it's important to hear those things and be able to speak those things back to other people. I think the other thing I would do is probably talk to Chris as the superintendent and some individual board members to better understand issues. So if there's a contentious issue among our board, it often would help me to talk to another board member to understand what the issues really are. So the clarification process, I think, is really important overall as far as I'm concerned. There's a book that was written a long time ago called Getting to Yes, and I think about that book in relationship to decisions made by boards such as ourselves here, and that if you clarify and listen and understand everybody's perspective, then you eventually get to that common yes. Now, you don't always get maybe everything that you personally want, but as a body, we reach out and we become to understand what the common good is and the common best for the organization and for the students of the district. And so ultimately, that's where I see myself as a consensus builder and understanding different perspectives and then reaching what is the best decision for us as a group.
How would I cope with the differing opinions among board members and between the board and the superintendent? Well, I think that we really have to think about what our course is as a board. You know, where are we going? What is it that we, you know, our opinions should be aligned with our values and our strategic goals. And so, for me, I know as a principal, I have to, boy, I'll tell you, I had to break up some really good potential fights between staff members and at different staff meetings. and so it was really important to look at conflict resolution and to look at how we could talk together and come to agreement as a board, as a staff. I mean, on the board, I think I would have to really look deep inside myself and think, wow, what is my opinion on this? And then again, do it in a closed session with other board members, and talk to Chris, and ask for Chris to help me out on this and help me see it, because she probably has a better view of what and a better history, archival history of what's happened in certain things that come up. Again, I here as a new board member would have to really, really understand where how the board functions, how everyone has communicated with each other, what has been the yes and the no's and the opinions, and then I'd have to sit and talk with Chris about it so that I can have a better understanding. differing opinions are going to happen. You know, it's just a good board is a board that has differences of opinions. I have been on many, many boards. I started off Boys and Girls Club area 31 years ago, SCEF board, the Arts Council, what else have I done? Gosh, Dientes. I was on the Dientes board for 11 years. And we didn't get through the things that we got through without having different opinions. It's a healthy board to have a different opinion. It's just how you carry yourself from the meetings out in the public that's going to make the big difference out there. So you have to, you know, I've been working on a neutral face, you know, because that's something that we have, either in public or at meetings. And maybe inside you're going, oh gosh, you know, I really don't really like that. But I'm going to stand by my board, you know. And so that's kind of like what I would do. I think it is hard, but I think we have to work together to make each other understand where we're coming from.
So coping with different opinions among board members, I think we each bring distinctive styles and personal qualities to our work and do our work as a board member, whichever of us is seated. And I think the way I approach differences of opinion is to be calm, be thoughtful, to be studied, to be personally respectful of differing opinions. And again, to go back to a phrase I used earlier, to listen to understand. So it's so easy for us to listen and just wait to jump in with our own opinion. But maybe one of you has a different opinion, and it's well-informed also, and I would really need to sit back, be calm, be thoughtful, be open to difference of opinions, and not be, maybe it's overstating it, but not be frightened by differences of opinion, but to welcome differences of opinion. And that's in large part what a school board is all about. We represent the community. Each of us brings a different set of qualities, a different set of perspectives, and we've agreed on a certain set of values and objectives for the district. So those anchor us. As a board, we've agreed on norms of behavior, so that anchors us. So were there to be a difference of opinion, I think it would be warranted to refer back to the group on norms, to refer back to our mission, our goals, our child in the center of the conversation. In a lot of my work, in both volunteer work and staff work in school districts, I often said, let's put a child in the middle of the table here. Sometimes we need to name that child. Okay, so as we're talking, this is what we're really talking about, is this child. And how do these different opinions come to bear on that child's best education? So I would think differing opinions are something that should be welcome, and like others have said, you need to bring to it the best of our communication skills. And at this point in our careers, I would assume all of us have pretty darn good communication skills, and I certainly would try to bring that to the table. So I think don't be afraid of different opinions, but relish them, welcome them, and be well informed so you can continue from there. And also, as a board, we do the public's work in public. So those norms of communication are extremely critical. In terms of difference of opinion between the board and the superintendent, I think, again, there are norms there. I think it's good that boards have different opinions than the superintendent. Boards are not there to be a rubber stamp for the superintendent. They're there to hire and evaluate the superintendent. The board can't get their work done without the leadership of a good superintendent. And an annual evaluation and a critical look at the outcomes is very important in dealing with the superintendent-board relations. Thank you.
Okay, so question number 5, we'll start with Rob, and Patty's going to ask that question.
I know.
She started. You answered that question first, correct?
Lydia
yes.
did, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're, it's okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, okay.
I'm working together. We'll get there.
What will you do when you feel a decision is in the best interest of a student that is not popular with the public?
Thanks, Patty, for that question.
Yeah.
I think that It's important for people to understand the community or the public that may not be popular to the public, why decisions are made. And so my first thought was, well, let's talk about how we ended up here to make this decision and what the research and the reasons show that we ended up making whatever that decision is at that point in time. So I keep going back to the conversations and explaining things as needed, if needed. And if the decision is in the best interest of students, then we as a board have made that decision. And I believe that I need to support that decision and understand why we're making that decision and why it's in the best interest of students. But it may not be popular with the public. I would add that in my observations and reading of your minutes and the way you operate, it would be a rare time that we would get to a point where something is in the best interest of students but not popular with the public. Although I guess I would say that when you're dealing with buildings, that would be a little bit different. But generally, most other things, you've got processes in place that help bring the community in. I think the whole LCAP process has been put in place, provides input by students, I mean, students and parents and the community and the goals that you have put together as part of your LCAP and as part of the board. And so it'd be surprising to me that we would reach that point, except like I said, I suppose with bond measures and buildings, that's the exception, but those are certainly in the interests of students. So as I've noticed, you've got a variety of parent feedback loops. We've got site councils, we've got district advisory committees, and lots of parents and community members are giving their input throughout the year in the process that you have put in place. And so I want to commend you for that process because I think it's really important so that by the time you do make a decision that may be unpopular with some people, at the very least everybody understands why that decision is made. And it's because the process we put in place that provides for feedback for everybody in the community to be part of that decision.
In my career, especially as a principal of two schools in Watsonville, I had an elementary and a middle school at the same time, and there were decisions that had to be made, and one side of the street wasn't happy, and neither was the other side, and some parents were happy, and some parents weren't happy, and it was really tough, you know, but I went and as a principal, and I spoke with my superintendent, and she guided me as to how to relate to the population in a way that was respectful and kind and empathetic and compassionate. I think when we are, when we make a decision, like he said, for the best interest of students, we have to remember what our vision is, what our core values are, you know, what our strategic goals. Was this decision based on each of these different strategies that we had? And then how are we going to make the owie go away from the public that is upset? You know, and I think welcoming the public to speak at board meetings is a good thing. You know, I think that having the public be able to write letters to Chris and to the rest of the board, I think that's a good thing. I think the town hall meetings are excellent. I mean, I think that is so right on. I did a lot of those town hall meetings in Pajaro, and I did a lot of those in Spanish to try to educate people as to why or why not the decision fit into our vision, because the board is the sextant. They're the ones that are guiding our district. And if we go off track, then people get confused. But if we're all on the same page, then it's easier for all of us, if they go to each person, to be able to say it. But again, you have to remember the Brown Act, and so sometimes you're going to have to refer the people that are unhappy, unfortunately, or to the board president for issues when they really get upset. But I think the most important thing is that people have the right to express themselves, to be in publicly to do so, and we as board members are, you know, we have a duty to listen to them. So I guess, you know, as board members, we might feel a little bit sad about that sometimes, but then maybe we as board members can also look to some solutions in the long term that will help alleviate some of those alleys out there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Often boards have to make decisions with the interest of all the students in mind, and sometimes a portion of the public will not be happy with those decisions. The public's a big thing, and most any high-profile decision is going to ruffle some feathers. So I think that's part of the board work, that we have to be courageous in making the decision that we truly believe is in the best interest of students. I've had quite a bit of experience with that, and ideally there's been enough communication up front that there's not a lot of misinformation out there, but sometimes there is a lot of bad information out in the community. And often, if a board can direct staff to increase the amount of communication that's going out to the community regarding a tentative decision, then sometimes that can soften the landing, so to speak. So I think one part of it is correcting any misinformation that's out there, educating the public, because I've often found that people are dissatisfied with a pending decision or a decision that's been made, in part because they're not fully informed. They don't quite understand why what's being done is being done. Why don't they do something about this, that person or another? And because of confidentiality reasons, neither staff nor the board can really share with the public sometimes where a decision's coming from. And that puts a board member in a tough spot, but those are tough spots that sometimes you just have to be brave to take them on. I've had to face the music quite often, issues of who takes AP classes, the bus scheduling changing, certain members of a particular community not wanting certain clubs on campus, for instance, LGBT clubs, running into issues there where some parts of the public didn't think that was appropriate. Should the Boy Scouts be on campus or not? Some parts of the public thought yes, some parts of the public thought no. How should math classes be sequenced? How should reading be taught? Who should work with whom in reading? What facilities should be built when, and what do they look like? So you're only going to make a decision as a board member with the best interest of the student in mind. And as much as we'd like everybody to agree, there usually going to be some members of the public who are unhappy with that. So that's part of boardsmanship. Sometimes you just have to suck it up and help educate people to better understand why things are being done the way they are. And in my experience, that will soften a lot of people's anger and soften people's misunderstanding of why something is being done. So I think if we're wise and thoughtful and careful, then we can explain why a decision was made, and things can go on from there easily. Thank you.
My first thought is work on a well-prepared statement of how to frame it in the best positive way to stay on message and stay on target, and not to, you know, if it was a differing opinion among the board, not to throw anyone under the bus, so to speak, but to really, I found in my board work that you really need to kind of get your core sentences in order so that you can speak to the issue at hand in a way that is succinct and clear and shows what, you know, what's best to be said on the subject. I have another thought. I also agree with what Cynthia was saying, that getting the word out and educating people about the issue is definitely one of the biggest challenges. I was commenting today that on our downtown association board, you know, you send out emails and you send out things trying to communicate what the issues are at hand, and you still get the phone calls saying, why is this happening? What's going on? And so I feel like as a board member, one of the things you can do out with the public is to try ahead of time to communicate what some of those key issues are to avoid maybe not so many angry emails and phone calls out in public. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, question number six. We'll start with Olga and Jeremy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was first.
You were
first.
Hope
this isn't a good
reference.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Olga. Could you support a board decision you do not vote in favor of? Why or why not?
Okay, this is a good one, okay, because, you know, if we are a shared governance board, publicly we have to stand together, and privately you can disagree. There's nothing worse than a dysfunctional board, and when people start picking sides and breaking the Brown Act or talking to other people and saying, well, I didn't support Jerry's decision, so they're there, you know? I mean, I can open up a whole can of worms. I really can. So I would have to say that I would have to support a board decision because hopefully as a board, because we are a functional board, you would have all talked me into it to begin with. And we would have researched it. We would have analyzed it. We've looked at the metrics. We would have looked at every aspect of the issue so that we could, you know, the hand of five, 3, 4, you know, where are you on the hand of five, all in agreement or none? And I think that as a board, I feel that I could sit alongside all of you and then really, really talk out how you can get me, okay, talk me into it, you know, show me, talk me into it. Because I have seen boards, and I've seen this board many, many years ago when it was not a functional board like it is today. Like I said, in the last 10, 12 years, like, this board has grown so much, and you've had a lot of mentoring, and obviously you are all on the same page. And I know that decisions are hard, and I may not agree with it, but I'm not going to go throw anybody under the bus and say, hey, you know, I don't agree with you, so there. So I would have to look at that decision and look at our core values, and if it fits into the strategic goals, and if I'm still really, really unhappy, I would go to Chris, and I would cry in her office, and she may not understand if I can be out of my anything. But you know what I mean? It would be something that would have to be discussing and in private. So that's how I feel about that. And I think that there should be times when we don't all agree, but hopefully we can all help each other to agree or agree to disagree and still vote yes.
I think one of the cornerstones of good governance is embedded in this question. Yes, if we become a board member, we have to be willing to support board decisions. It's just the way it functions. And we deliberate, we're thoughtful, we come eventually to a vote. Sometimes that's a unanimous vote, which makes supporting the decision easier. Sometimes it's a split vote, which makes supporting the decision a little trickier. I think one key point of an effective governance team is that a board decision that will elicit community feedback, so to speak, that, and you may have this protocol in place already, I assume you do, but that there be one spokesperson for the board, and typically that would be the board president. So let's say there's a hot issue, there are a lot of people behind us here, tempers maybe even flare sometimes, and then maybe there's press, and who goes out and talks to the press? Ideally, from my point of view, it wouldn't be seven people, it would be one person who would go out and have the official word of the board decision. And I think that's critical. In some situations, it might be the superintendent, but that would be dependent on the norms that have been established. But I think cornerstone of good governance dictates, yes, you have to be supportive of a board decision, even if it's a split one. And I've seen it go sour, and it can really get messy. I've even seen where there's been a unanimous vote in favor of something. And in other places where then a board member will go out and say, well, yeah, that's how we voted, but I don't really feel that way. And that's really undermining, and I trust that the smooth operating I see from this board, that's not happening. And I would hope to be a positive contributor to make sure that norm continued to be followed.
So again, it's a cornerstone of good government that we sit together as a board and speak with one voice, because we are in effect one voice. We're a board. Thank you.
Yes, I have no problem supporting the board in the decision that I'm in favor of. I had an experience where I was the lone vote on the board against a controversial issue, and you know, the next day the Sentinel was right outside my business waiting to hear what I had to say, and I was well prepared for my statement of support. And moving forward, I actually really felt like I learned a lot from that process, and especially in that I ended up agreeing with their decision later on down the line. And but I also felt like it really was sort of a good bonding experience with our board, because the different board members said, "Hey, I really respect how you felt and how you stood up for what you felt and how you handled yourself afterwards." So I understand that we all work together as a team, and that's probably the reason why I like board work, is that end result of working together as a team.
So my answer to this question is yes. I think it's important as a board member, and this would be me as well, is that we trust the process and the board goals that you put in place and the way the board is supposed to interact. It's okay, in my mind, to have conversations around a board meeting and have different opinions expressed and express those different opinions, but that should not change the relationship that you have with one another to do what's right for the district overall. And so if a decision is made that I might not agree with, then once the decision is made, then I'm part of that decision as well. I agree with one of my fellow candidates up here that talked about it's not healthy to go outside a meeting and say, "I voted against this and I'm not really in favor of it." It kind of gets back to that previous question where we talked about if the public's not in favor of something, what do we do with it? Well, we stand united, because if we've decided that it's the right decision, and it's the right decision as a board, then that's the decision I'm going to go forth in public and support. Now, we can disagree again individually or as part of a board, you know, a couple of board members, but that respect for each other's opinion and respect for the final decision, and I would say overall, the democratic process is put in place based on our roles as board members, is really important to follow, and I would certainly follow that.
Okay, so our last question, we'll start with Cynthia, and Chris is going to ask this question.
So is there anything that you would like to add that was not addressed in our previous questions, and you'll have 3 minutes to just make it clear?
Thank you. First of all, I'd just like to share how honored I feel to be sitting here and being considered as a candidate. Thank you for that. And we don't know each other well, but the other three folks sitting up here with me, we've really enjoyed the process so far. They get me started the hallway conversations, so that feels good. And as a feeling and thinking person, this feels good. And thank you for making it comfortable for us to address these very important questions. I think that I come to you here tonight maybe with some questions in your mind about why would somebody who has the public school background that I do want to apply to be a board member. So I thought I might address that briefly, that didn't come out in the other questions. I've lived in Santa Cruz for 20 years. I've been retired for about 12 years. And I left the superintendency over the hill in Los Gatos, Saratoga, a little earlier than I had planned to, because I fell to a health condition called transverse myelitis, which created paralysis in my body and ended up in a wheelchair. So I retired a little sooner than I anticipated, and that was 12 years ago. So how come you're just seeing me now? For the first few years after that malady, if you will,
I really was focused on convalescence and rehabilitation, and as part of that, I became very active in wheelchair tennis and wheelchair table tennis, and worked to try to get to the Olympics in Rio. I got a bronze in the pre-tournament, so I needed a gold, so I didn't get to go to Rio, but I came really close. And for a seven-year-old woman, that was pretty good, being the oldest person at the Pan American Games. So I'm persistent, and I'm focused, and I'm studied, and I'm serious about what I take on. So I take this on now because I've done other things in my retirement that I think have led me to this place. So I worked really hard at becoming a whole active person again. I'm proud that I have done that. And then I spent a lot of time with my grandchildren as they were going into public schools and volunteering in classrooms and helping the parents with the grandkids in that public school quest. And then I did a lot of writing. And then I started thinking, you know, I need to be giving more back to my community. So I started to work as a volunteer at the UCSC and with the Parks and Recreation Department, bringing the wheelchair table tennis to Santa Cruz. So now I'm ready to be more active in my volunteer efforts. And when this opening came up, a couple people said, hey, you should look into that. You should look into that. And I looked into it, and I got energized by it, and I got invigorated by the idea. So I'm excited to be here as an applicant. I'm a serious learner. I love to support the learning of others, and I'm very thankful to you and for your thoughtful consideration of my candidacy. I would enjoy being a member of this board and would do very serious collaborative work with you all if I had the honor of doing so. Thank you.
One of the things that I think that I bring to the table for this position is that I am a mom with young kids in the school, and I feel that that's an area that could use perhaps a little more representation on the board. I come from, you know, having two parents that were educators, so I have that education background and that connection, but I'm not an educator. So I think that having that kind of perspective might be a nice balance on the board. I kind of have my ear to the ground with what's going on with kindergarten through fifth grade and beyond, but, you know, in particular. And I really have a commitment to this community. I've been here my entire life. So I really would like to be a part of it for that reason. I also think that my work, owning two small businesses, I know that a budget is kind of a moving target, and that you're always adjusting and reevaluating and rearranging things as you go along. And I took over my business during the recession and managed to grow during that period. So I think that I have the ability to look at a budget creatively and think about it that way. And I really, the education in this community, I think, is one of the most important things we can do for this community. And as I said when I started, I think as a parent, with all the craziness going on in the world right now, I really wanted to bring my attention to home and what could be done on a local level. And that's in particular why I'm interested in this position. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it. I feel like I've learned a lot. This was yet another reason. I wanted to challenge myself to do something different. I have worked at my job at Artisan since I was 16 years old. And I bought it when I was 32, 41 now. So I've been there a long, long time. I hope that shows my commitment to things when I do them. I really throw myself wholeheartedly into it. But I would like to expand my horizons a little bit more. And so I see this as an opportunity to do that. Thank you very much.
I want to start by thanking you, board members, for your service for making the school district as great as it is now. You've done a tremendous job of moving this district forward in a variety of ways. I want to thank Chris, for the process you put in place through this whole process. And I want to thank the teachers' organization and the classified people who interviewed us on Monday. I learned a lot about you and your questions from your questions and concerns. And then I also want to thank Olga, Linnea, Cindy, and Enda, because through this process, what I've learned is I've learned more about myself and how I interact with others, but even more I've learned about the number of great people that exist within this district and within in Santa Cruz overall. And even though I don't personally know many of you, I feel like we're on the same journey, which is to improve education for the kids in this district. I'm a lifelong learner, so I look forward to learning some of the more informal board member skills that aren't on those websites that I was supposed to study. Like, for example, I'm really looking forward to learning how to speed read a 400-plus page board book, or how to keep a poker face during hours of public testimony, or how to keep a smile on your face when you totally disagree with the speaker. Those are some of those informal board skills that I don't know that I know very well, so I look forward to learning those from you. As I mentioned earlier, I grew up in Santa Cruz. My parents, I went to Branson Forte de la Vega, then Branson Forte Junior High before it was a middle school, and then Harbor High. And then my dad actually also is a product of Santa Cruz City School, or was. He went to Galt, then Branson Forte, and then Santa Cruz High School. In our family, I'm the oldest of five siblings, and I have a 27-year-old daughter. And my parents were great models of public service and the importance of public education. And so we heard that all the time around the dinner table, so to speak. So public education was just part of my life, whether I wanted it to be or not. But I chose that direction as we were moving forward. I went on to attend a variety of different colleges and universities in the state, and have worked in a variety of different places around the state, as I mentioned earlier. It's given me this breadth and depth of education in California that I don't think I would have otherwise realized. I believe that every student comes to school ready to learn and wants to be successful. Every teacher wants to be successful. And I believe that governing board members are here to support the principals, the superintendent, and the students in the overall school district. I hope that I have that opportunity to work with you in those common goals that you have.
First of all, thank you so much for your consideration. I've been honored to have been considered, and also I want to thank everybody here for being so wonderful and nice, and both unions. I prepared a closing statement, so I'm going to kind of read it and talk it through, if you don't mind. Anyone who would choose to run for a seat on a school board brings unique skills and values to the table. They must be willing to put their egos aside and be willing to be a team player, a good problem solver, and a thoughtful, respectful, and kind listener, and treat every speaker at a board meeting in a respectful and courteous manner. If I were to be your choice tonight, I would work collaboratively with the board and the superintendent to ensure that we're working so that all our students are receiving a high-quality education. And I also have been a lifelong learner since I can remember. I was actually a product of Catholic schools, if you can believe that. So when I first came to California, my first school that I went to that wasn't a Catholic school was when I was a sophomore in high school in San Rafael. I was one of those English language learners. I didn't understand what half the stuff they were telling me. They tried to sell me pot, and I went home and asked my mother, ¿por qué? You know, everybody's trying to sell me a pot for cooking.
Yeah.
I had no idea what they were talking about. Ollas, ¿qué es una olla? You know? So I really am concerned. I have a wealth amount of firsthand knowledge and experience in the Santa Cruz City Schools. I'm involved and connected in the community. I've been a mentor. I've been a coach. I've been a teacher. I started a Life Lab program at Bayview Elementary. And I have worked side by side with many teachers and many parents. I understand the LCAP and the LCFF. I'm a strong supporter of our unions, having sat on negotiations as a principal. I've also been involved in ACSA for the last 30 years, and I truly believe in celebrating our teachers, whether it's through ACSA, or, I mean, our administrators and our teachers through SCEP, okay? So, lastly, my personality and experience lends itself to working in a collaborative environment that builds unity and creates positive structures in order to keep the district grounded in learning achievement for all students. I'm an empathetic listener, and I welcome opportunities for the community and stakeholders to express diverse points of view. How else are we going to know how they feel or what they're thinking if we don't listen? There's one more thing I want to say, okay? I really look forward to looking at safe school plans and grants, working collaboratively to in creating anti-bullying programs and providing training on issues that affect the LGBTQ plus community. So that's pretty much what I have to say, but I really thank you so much for your consideration, and hopefully we can be together. Thanks.
That's it. Okay, thank you. Good job, everyone. So I'm going to go to public comment, and then we're going to have discussion. So if anyone would like to approach the podium, please don't repeat what's been said, but if you want to second something, feel free. And this is public comment, but we won't be responding. So, and also keep your comments to 3 minutes if possible. So we'd like you to approach the podium. And, yeah, actually, maybe the mic should go to the podium. Thank you. Is there a mic up there? Oh, there's one. Okay. Here, Mike.
I'm happy to be here.
Great.
I'm Gary Crampton, and I was a teacher in Las Gatas Saratoga Union High School District from 2000 to 2006. And I was very fortunate, I felt, in that Cindy Ray and I was a superintendent of schools. She's an excellent administrator, a caring leader, and is grounded in honoring students and staff. Teaching partner, Bruce Darling, wasn't able to make it this evening, but he asked if I would pass on these words. My career in education spanned from 1966 to 2004 in both Santa Cruz and Las Gatas school districts. 17 of those were spent here in Santa Cruz under a number of different superintendents. In the last years of my teaching career, I had the distinct honor and pleasure to serve under her brilliant and humane leadership in Las Gatas. Cindy has an incredible heartfelt commitment to students and teachers. She was a frequent guest in our classrooms, and her visits were a source of enjoyment for the students, even when she schooled them in a game of ping pong. I will never forget her visit the day of September 11th when she came to check on us. She said, "I won't ask how the kids are doing because I know they're with you." But she asked with a warm hug, "How are you doing?" Cindy Ray and I is an exceptional human being with unlimited talents and gifts to bring to your school. You can search high and low and not find a better person to serve the district, and most importantly, all the individuals within its schools. As a superintendent, Cindy maintained an open door policy. That's not just how she ran the district, it's also how she runs her life. Bless you, lady. You need your group.
Good evening. My name is Stephanie Posh, community members. And I'm here in support of Olga de Santa Ana. So I've known Olga in a variety of capacities, friend, neighbor. She's taught my children. She's also on the Santa Cruz Education Foundation board. And I have known Olga to be an incredibly dedicated, compassionate, and also passionate member of Santa Cruz City Schools. She's worked in the district for many, many years in a variety of capacities. And I know that one thing she'll bring to the Bear Board is fairness and the ability to make a decision that is in the best interest of both of everybody, the children, the community, and the board. And I think that's really important to have all three of those things in mind when making decisions. She also brings a perspective of having worked in our schools, and I think for parents and community members alike, there are so many very challenging issues in today's schools. And I think having been in the thick of it for so many years is invaluable. She also is a Latina, and I think that in our community with such a significant population, I think it's important to have that perspective and also just that dual, not just the language, but also just being from that culture, bicultural. And also LGBTQ is a very important aspect as well in our community, and I think somebody that understands those issues and has been working with people like that, has been working and loving with all types of people is very, very important. And so I think she does a wonderful job. She's committed, and she's done wonderful things on our Education Foundation board as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity. She will be a blessing addition to the board.
Casey Carlson, and I'm speaking as the president of the Greater Santa Cruz Federation of Teachers. And I'd like to start by thanking all the applicants and thanking you for passing your contact information to Chris so that we could invite you all to interview with us. We were all the site reps and the members at large that were there were struck by that each of you have attributes and positive talents. And it was unusual that, there was no one where we said, oh, we wouldn't want that message. So thank you all so, so very much for doing this. So our site reps and members at large went through a very deliberative process. Chris had forwarded the application packets to me, and then I sent them out to our site reps. And I was pleasantly surprised that they had all read them and studied them ahead of time. So they came to the interviews on Monday with that background. We had a series of questions, much like tonight, except that we interviewed each applicant separately. And then at the end of that process, we stayed and we discussed for 45 minutes before anybody cast a vote. And we voted they had to sign their ballot, but by a secret ballot, because I didn't want, in the past there had been hand raising, and I felt like that was an influence on people, and I wanted each rep to be able to make up their own mind. So that was the process we used. And the very strong recommendation coming from our reps, although they honor every one of you for all your contributions, was that they really supported Cindy. And so I'm passing on to the board, as I emailed you also, what the attributes were that they saw in Cindy that they really valued. The first thing was, of course, her depth and breadth of experience. Not just her educational experience, but her life experience, a volunteer in the Peace Corps, mom and grandmother, and ping pong, and writing, and college adjunct, and just so many things that she's tackled and done in her life. So that was something they valued. They also valued that when we interviewed her, she had very concrete ideas and responses, which, of course, I know comes from her experience, but that she, her answers were very concrete in that way in terms of solutions. Something else that they really valued was, and you can see this tonight, was a very calm, thoughtful manner, and looking at the board and thinking about having someone who could work with all the board members in a calm and thoughtful way. And the last thing, an adjective that they used, and you actually used it tonight yourself, Cindy, to talk about yourself, was they saw her as a serious person, not as a humorless person. But that was an adjective they used. They liked her serious approach. So they asked me to come forward tonight and speak on her behalf. Thank you.
My name is Wendy Cosgrove, and I worked in the Los Gatos Saratoga School District for 37 years.
Over those years, I worked with several different principals and school district superintendents. Dr. Rainey was a star in the group. She understood all the requirements of the job, giving equal attention to students and teachers. Our district became stronger and our students and staff much happier. This is too funny. One day I will never forget, it was during a demonstration. I was a cooking teacher in the home ec department, and I was doing my thing up in the front of the room. The stranger walks into the opening of my classroom, and I had this big sliding glass door. She's standing there, leaning up against the door, watching. Well, full army camouflage, face paint, the whole nine yards. I mean, boots, everything. And this was like, I don't know, the week before Halloween. And the end of the demonstration, she comes up to me and introduces herself. And guess who it was? Dr. Rainey. But anyway, that was just one kind of short thing. So at the, now I've lost my place. I would strongly recommend her for a position on the Sand Creek City School Board. She's a wonderful lady. Thank you.
Good evening, Board. Thank you for your time. I don't know if the public has any idea how many hours you devote in candidates. Thank you for willing to volunteer and be part of the board. I'm Bob Semich from Los Gatos. I taught at Los Gatos High School for 31 years, and I was privileged to have Cindy as a superintendent for the part of my career. She's a, without duplicating everything that's been said, she's a bridge builder, she's a very competent administrator. I don't know that she was loved by all the teachers, but I'll bet you 92% respected that lady, and we just loved her. She's compassionate, she's a super listener. And some people you talk to, they listen, but you know darn well they're not hearing it. Cindy hears. I think she's a great candidate. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. Thank you very much for taking your time to go through a deliberative process in terms of selecting candidates for this position on the board. I'm Matt Farrell, and I was on the school board from 1992 to 2000. And I would recommend and encourage you to appoint Olga Santana to the board, because I think she brings a history and an understanding of the culture of the district that will be a valuable contribution to the work of the board. Olga served as an elementary, middle school, and a high school principal in the district, as well as she has experience in serving the diverse community of South County. And I think that experience is special and hard to duplicate, and I think it will be a significant contribution to the board. Secondly, I've known Olga for a long time, and I've seen her struggle with difficult things in her life and support her friends. I think she has a huge heart, and I think it takes a big heart to be on the school board. And so I think she'll live up to the challenge and bring great passion to the board.
My name is Pam Hernandez, and I've been a teacher, and well, been retired for a few years, but over 25 years in Santa Cruz City Schools, and I'm here to support Olga also. I can just tell you, at Galt, when she came to Galt, well, first of all, a lot of principals experienced having a lot of different principals, but when she came to Galt, it was a really, really rough time, right after the school closures, and I have to say that staff, teachers, parents, even kids were all reeling when she came. And I was just so impressed at the time because she really did listen. Like Matt was saying, not just listen, but really listen. And just so impressed by that because she listened. She had a lot of different groups, factions of people to listen to. And in not a very long time, it just felt like our school was going to be okay again from that. I don't know how she did it, but it's who she is and the passion that she had and the caring. And I think she would be a great addition to the board. I was really excited to hear and find out that she was interested in even doing it. So it's great to be here and to think of that possibly happening. I also am impressed, I have to say it, everyone here, the other candidates too, we are in a fortunate situation. But I did want to put in that word for Olga because I know her personally and know what an asset she could be.
Good evening, my name is Nada Milkovich. I also want to echo the thoughts that y'all are very lucky to have this wonderful candidates to choose from. I'm here to recommend Olga de Santa Ana. I met Olga when I began as a board member for the Arts Council of Santa Cruz, so fairly recently, and I'm also a parent and longtime Santa Cruzian. I also teach at UCSE. My experience with Olga has been just wonderful. She's a pleasure to have on the board. She's always very consistently on time and shows up when we need her to show up. And she has a very positive and well-thought way of speaking when we have our board meetings. She has helped create an amazingly collaborative, efficient board where it's truly a joy to serve both the board and with Olga. It's a pleasure getting to know this very intelligent, funny, and kind and respectful person. So I highly recommend it. Olga de Santa.
Good evening. I'm Doug Lay, member of the great Santa Cruz High School class of 1969. And I want to thank you all for what you do to make this a great community and continue the terrific educational experience that I've benefited from and I think the entire community benefits from. And as some other people have said, I'm very proud and feel great about being a member of this community to have such excellent candidates applying for this position. But there's, as good as everyone in front of you is, there's one truly exceptional candidate, and that's Cindy. I've known Cindy now for about 5 years, and everything you've heard about her personality is true. And it's the only criticism I have about her is that she's too understated. You know, you don't really get the full story from her, so you'll have to hear it from us. Her personal qualities, her ability to listen, to think, to engage, to be thoughtful, to be positive, are particularly remarkable. And you would be very pleased to have her a part of your team. The other thing I want to say is she will bring to you, I think one of the things you may be missing here, or easy to miss, is her experience elsewhere. So you can initially see, whoa, this person's been a superintendent in all these schools, and she's just going to either support the teachers or support the administration or whatever. That's not the way she is. And more importantly, she doesn't want to run another school system. She's done that. I hope she's ought to be tired of that, right? Yeah. But she does have a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience in other communities. And I find Santa Cruz can often be like a little like, oh, we're Santa Cruz and we have to do it the Santa Cruz way. And in my experience in business, it's very, very helpful to get views from other people, other experiences, and say, well, how was it done over there? How did they done it? She's got that experience. And I think Santa Cruz would benefit enormously from that. So I think your decision's easy. I encourage you to make it. I agree.
Robert Chakanaka, president of the Classified Union. We recognize all the candidates are good candidates. We participated with the Greater Santa Cruz Federation of Teachers in the forum that we held. We then broke away separately for our own caucus, and our executive board recognized Olga de Santillana as our candidate as recommendation to you as a board. I've had the opportunity in the last 2 days to be able to speak to my members just out in the field and in and around, and they've all spoken highly. As you know, she was in this district for over 24 years, so she's known quantity to all of my members. And my members, 90% of them live in Santa Cruz. So we feel that Olga would best represent the students, the staff in Santa Cruz for the best interests of our kids and our community. Thank you.
Hi, I'm
Annie
Carrie Monarchy, and I'm an assistant principal at Saratoga High School. And I'm a Santa Cruz County resident. When I heard that City Rain I was applying for a position on the school board, I thought, hallelujah. I mean, really, that's what I thought. Because, and I felt compelled that I needed to come and tell you why I felt that way. She left our district too soon, as she mentioned, and the idea of her coming back into the educational world is a boon for all of us, for your students, for you. I would say that when I met her, I was an English teacher at the high school. I was also the lead negotiator for the teachers union. And so I've had many conversations with her about all kinds of things. And I'll tell you, if you need a problem solver, if you need somebody who is compassionate and impassioned, if you need somebody that can advocate for the board's needs to the superintendent, if you need somebody who can advocate for student needs, you're going to find that in Cindy. One thing she's excellent at is holding multiple perspectives. I know that I can take a perspective and then I can forget it, and I can take another perspective and forget it. She can hold all of those perspectives when decisions are being made, and I don't know how she does it. She's a really good listener. You've heard that over and over. But she can remember what she heard. She doesn't forget it. She doesn't wash it away. She's really good at remembering those things. I can remember, I had to chuckle about Wendy's, she was at Los Gatos and I was at Saratoga. Cindy showed up as Brunhilde, right, for Halloween at Saratoga High School. You know, she had to do all these other things. And it's just a vision that I have. But the other strong vision that I have of her is coming into my own classroom and sharing her Peace Corps days, their learning Farsi, being a service learning. And that has really informed my own education as an administrator now, and the value of service learning. The fact that she's here asking to serve again holds that mission still. So I would just say that I'm personally thrilled that she's stepped back into this arena, and that how fortunate you might be to have her on your school board. I agree. I think the candidates are great. Cindy even told me as I walked in, there are great people in this community, and you are so fortunate to have them all. So good luck. I'm sorry you have to make that decision, but I would vote for Cindy if I were.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the board before we begin deliberation? Okay. So, we have an embarrassment of riches, I have to say. I'd be honored to serve with any of them. Now it's time for us to discuss as a board. And you may refer to your board packets and ask each other clarifying questions, but this is a conversation for us. So, having said that, does anyone have any opening comments or ideas about how what we've heard tonight may affect or support our district and our goals?
Lights?
No, oh, we don't have lights. It's okay.
No lights.
I'll take
no
it.
Lights.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We don't.
I got it.
No.
It's like we don't. Peter, special effects. We have these lights.
They've made life so much easier because then we know where our needs will be addressed, so we can listen to each other instead of sit with our hands up.
It's one of our norms.
Yes.
It's just
a light.
It helps our board president keep us straight.
Claudia has her.
Yeah, we'll light. Okay, we'll start with you, Claudia, while we get set up here.
As I was listening to all of you, I was remembering what it felt like to be a new board member and the skills I came with and the skills that I realized I would need and would need to learn. It was huge. It was a huge learning process for me. And I think that the most challenging for me was the, well, I know the most challenging was the budget. And I think bringing somebody on board who has an understanding of the budget will really help us as a board continue the work that we're doing.
Are there any other comments?
I think Jeremy's light isn't working.
Oh, no.
Just give us a minute.
Okay.
Fellow board members, this is probably one of the hardest decisions I think we'll have to make as a board. We have four amazing candidates in front of us, and this is making this decision incredibly difficult. I agree with you, Claudia, that we do need a colleague that will have a good understanding of the budget. And I would also add that I think we need a colleague that will bring another perspective, another point of view that's different from our own, because I think each of us brings something unique to our conversations that really helps grow my understanding of issues. And I really strongly believe that we need to bring on a board member who can represent the diversity of our community more fully. And so I think having a candidate who is a Spanish speaker, who has worked with the Latino community, is a fellow Latina, I think brings an additional strength. All of our candidates are bringing unique strengths, but I think that's a strength that would add to our board in terms of representing, you know, our demographics of our students in our community.
Go ahead, Jill.
Well, I'm just going to start with, before all of this happened, I tried to think, without there being any people to think about, what I was hoping we could add to our board. And I was remembering when I went to the first CSBA board training, and they talked about how anybody in the community who has the ability to work with people and the interest in our schools can be on the board, and that it doesn't take a great deal of educational experience or any experience of any particular part. And I was thinking that that is something that, in the long run, I hope we can have for our board. Parents of young children, more people who have worked with people of color and the various languages that are available here. I'm hoping for all of that. I once said, when there were three of us who were PhDs, now there's only two. I said, okay, we don't need another PhD. That's like, you know, I'm very proud of my PhD, let me tell you. It's like I worked really hard for it. But, you know, us kind of feeling like we needed a broad, to broaden ourselves. You know, watch what you wish for, because we got a lot of it. Yeah. I mean, I had a point at which my anxiety was getting so high that I was considering saying, okay, I'll quit. Somebody take my seat. Except that it didn't solve the problem, because that would still only be two seats. Yeah. And we needed more than that. I mean, I just really... I could say what Dee Dee said for sure, and I could say that about everyone that's here. In terms of, as I listen to each person, I would go, well, we could use that. You know, we could use a business person who is very involved in this community. You know, we could use somebody who really has done a lot of work with various kinds of education and who is interested in working with our queer youth. We could use everything that is here. We could use the two people who have a long and deep history. So I don't have any easy answers to this. I'm really, like Dee Dee said, it's one of the hardest decisions that we've had to make, and we had to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
In fact, we're still making them. But I have to start by saying that my only way I can stand it is to say, well, maybe whoever doesn't get it will just run the next time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eventually we're all going to tire out. I mean,
yeah.
And because I really am so pleased that people are actually interested in this community and in our board. So that's not, I didn't help at all. I realize that. That's because I haven't figured it out yet. So I'm going to shut up and let somebody else talk.
Patty.
Thank you to my left side for being brave and speaking first and really opening up the conversation. And I'm going back to my notes because I am impressed by all who took this endeavor on. And Sheila, I do believe I got a message out of that because I do see the diverse pieces that can be brought through each personality. And I definitely agree of the challenge of the budget when being a new board member and a reflection of the community that we serve, really making sure that the needs are met in that direction. I also very much appreciated the history and the business that some of the candidates had brought forward. But one of the things that resonated with me was that an answer was to be brave. And I know of all the difficult things that I've sat through in this seat. That is what a quality that I really believe somebody must have at the core, that they have to know themselves well and be brave. And then to follow up, something that resonated with me is something that I believe happens here in Santa Cruz, which I love. The thing about Santa Cruz is we started and did so many things that we believe that only we know how to start and do so many things. And so with that being said, there's a benefit of a knowledge of a running system and a candidate that has happened before. So I've heard people speak to a kindness and a knowledge, and I think that's something to consider.
I'll just chime in on, again, I'm going to say that the diversity that I see before us is really, I mean, we would be very fortunate. We have, you know, mom, business owners, experience, people who reflect, you know, biculturalism, LGBTQ identification, all kinds of really important factors that really factor into our community. And it's a really, really hard decision. I'm just going to say it again. And kudos, this is, I'm not supposed to address, but kudos to these folks for having a public interview, a job interview, in a way that I think none of us have really experienced as through election.
Yeah.
Even the forums are not quite the same. So it's, I'm just acknowledging the work that we have to make a decision tonight. So public commiseration, I guess, on that. Jeremy, did you want to add anything this evening?
When in cryptic corners of our hearts, we wait and wait for the answer to arise.
Exactly.
Did you get that, Nancy?
She'll get it afterwards.
Okay. Okay, Sheila, go ahead.
Okay, this is still not going to make anybody happy, but I do want to say to all of the board members, too, that we all, when we ran and we came, we all thought we, you know, knew a lot. And we all had our very definite ideas of what we wanted to get. And I'm just really, I want us to be cautious about thinking that any huge amount of knowledge of the budget or anything else is available, because I really actually think that we all learned on the job, and I don't want anybody there to think that you have to really already know all of this to run. Because, man, I made so many mistakes because I didn't listen enough my first... Because I talked too much and didn't listen enough my first, you know, while on the board. I made a lot of mistakes, but boy, did I learn from those mistakes. So I guess I just want all of us to remember that coming with a deep knowledge is not necessarily the only way to come. Because fresh ideas is another way to come. We seem to have a lot of both here, so that's why it doesn't help my decision that much. But I just want to put that out there. Do we have time to, like, think? Meditate?
Process? Take a moment. Go ahead, Dean.
I think no matter what we decide, we're gonna have a wonderful colleague. So that's heartening to me, given that this is such a hard decision, no matter who we decide on.
Okay, Claudia.
I agree with you, Dee Dee. I think that any of you would be a wonderful addition to this board. And what came through from all of you is your willingness to work collaboratively and to listen and communicate. So I would be happy to work with any of you.
So are we ready to, I'm going to go ahead and facilitate the vote when we're ready to do that so that Deb can participate. Is everyone ready to move to a vote?
Not really, but I don't know what would
help. We have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 5 minutes of thinking
just
might
thinking.
Help.
Okay, quiet.
Looking over our notes.
We can do that. Would you guys want to take a break and come back?
No.
I don't think these folks want us to take a break, so
yeah.
I think we should just go ahead. So, Jeremy.
I agree with Dee Dee that we have to look at the demographics and statistics in schools. And we have to... We have to understand that for a fellow like myself, a white, heterosexual male, role models were easy to come by. And I had a kitchen table with a mother and father who debated endlessly politics, philosophy, and so on. And so I came to school with a set of values that worked for school. I knew how to do school. But, and you'll forgive me that I don't have exact numbers, we have perhaps 40% of our youngsters in this district, in some schools more than 50%, who don't have that privilege that I had. They don't have those role models that look and sound like them. And so oftentimes they're lost. And they don't often have that kitchen table, not because mom or dad or whatever are not as intelligent as my parents were, but because they work very hard and they're tired at night. And when one is tired at night and has worked very hard, one perhaps doesn't have the time to involve oneself in these detailed philosophical give and takes. Or maybe one has a second job. And so I think it's so important for these boys and girls to see someone who looks like them, who speaks a language that they grew up speaking, who has an immigrant experience that many of them have who connects with them. Thank you.
Any further deliberations from our board?
I still would like a couple minutes to look at my notes, but if nobody else does, I'll just wing it.
I don't think it's fair. No, I don't think it's fair.
But she can.
So we'd like to pause for a couple minutes?
Just a couple minutes, but not, but at the dais. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to.
Right.
Do you want to explain that voting? I don't know if the public understands how we're going to vote.
So while the board is reviewing their notes, I'm just going to explain how the vote's going to happen this evening. In each of the board's packets, they have ballots that have their names on them, and they're going to make a vote on paper. They're going to pass it to me, and I'm going to read each of their votes and their names aloud to the public. This will allow them to make their vote. If we have a majority of four for one candidate, that will be the end of voting. If we don't have a majority of four of the vote for one candidate, the board will need to deliberate more, and we'll have another round of voting. And then we'll proceed like that until we get a board majority. And I just want to extend my gratitude to all of you two. You're all amazing, and I'm hoping that whether you end up serving in this role or not, we can find ways to engage you and use your talents and to inform our work and to support our students, because we've all been wonderful things to our to this community. So thank you. Trustees, as you're ready, if you could choose the item that says first ballot and has your name at the top, and write the name of the candidate you'd like to place your vote for, fold it in half, and once everyone has it all watched, I'll watch for everyone to have it, I'll ask you to pass it over, and Pat and I will tally the votes together and we'll read them out.
You can pass your pen. Thank you.
going to wait for a second for Deb to return. We do have a majority vote. We have a majority.
Oh.
So I'm going to go ahead and read the votes. Trustee Perez Granados voted for Olga de Santa Ana. Trustee Jeremy Sichonik voted for Olga de Santa Ana. Trustee Patty Threet voted for Cynthia Hall Rainey. Trustee Claudia Vestal voted for Cynthia Rainey. Trustee Sheila Coonerty voted for Cynthia Hall Rainey, and Trustee Deb Tracy Prue voted for Cynthia Hall Rainey. So,
thank you.
I want to thank all of you. It was a really difficult decision, and thank you so much. Cynthia Rainey will be our appointee, and on the October 18th meeting is when we will be swearing you in officially. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to return to closed session.
Yeah. You know what we have to do is